You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Beginning.
Wow.
And so we were given the blessing to raise them and adopt them. And so we just had an adoption last year. And now I'm coming off a high this week.
Because this week we were in court.
We were in court, and I can't thank you enough.
Not for a traffic infraction.
Yeah, I know. Every time I show up, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. And
you adopted?
We now have two little girls.
So you went from a house, an empty household, to four little kids. What are their ages?
We have 2, 3, 5, and 5. You know,
yeah, little kids.
Be careful what you pray for, right? You know, but we're really
Death
excited.
Death to self.
Yeah.
You are now called to die to self.
Die to self. But, you know, this is something that's been, this is one taught Melissa and I something. I think sometimes we in Christian circles can idolize family. We can idolize children.
Lord said, if child, wife, family is before me, then you're not worthy of me.
Yeah.
I've wrestled with that and what that means.
And the kind of love that we should have for Jesus should be in comparison, as if we would hate our children because that's how much we love the Lord. It is this – there should be nothing that's what an idol – anything that gets in the way between our relationship between God and man is an idol. And
I think that's why some people who are totally – extremely in love, and I was when I was younger. I often thought God separated us because I just loved her too much, and she would be before God, my idol. And God said, no, you have a wife, and you have a husband, but I'm God. They're not God.
Yeah. But I think for us, we have to – children are a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Families are a blessing. Wives are a blessing. Those are all blessings. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, you can, unfortunately, and I think I see it in some Christian circles, we idolize the family so much that it takes over our love for the Lord. We have to kind of keep that priority. And I think for Melissa and I, we had to get to a point in our relationship where we said, you know, Lord, if you let us have children, great. And if we don't get to have children, great. It's up to you. And this
now,
whole time that we're trying to have kids, you know, and maybe we are
upset. What
about
the ego wanting your own flesh,
But you see, that becomes this selfish identity where at the time we're still trying to have children. And hey, there might be a kid number 5. I don't know. There's one more seat in our minivan. All I can say is I got one seat available.
We got one more seat in the minivan.
But
she's my woman and I'm her man.
But I look at when we were trying to have kids on our own, and of course it's good to try, but I'm not going to place my joy and happiness on an outcome. I'm going to put my joy and happiness on Jesus. And the whole time that we're trying, here's these two sweet little kids that are in our home.
Yeah.
And the Lord's saying, won't you just trust me with my plans that I have for you?
Yeah.
Here you guys feeling sad about your situation. And don't you know that in a year's time, you'll be adopting these two little ones that I'm letting you care for?
Yeah.
You know, and that really got me to think more about the spirit of adoption.
You know, they say blood is thicker than water, and I used to think that meant family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn losing my brother, losing my mother, everybody around me. Suddenly, you know, like you were on the outside, pastor. Okay, you're Pastor Rayburn here, and I was you're my friend and everything, but you know, you're not in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I got the family's gone. Now I'm reduced to the point where, like David, who's been my friend for 40 years, is now the closest thing probably on earth to have to a real brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has brothers, so maybe it's not as deep for him. I don't know. I do know that he could do nothing to suspend my love for my brother, my friend. But they said that doesn't mean what we think it means. It means that your blood is thicker than water. It's the water of the birth with any woman that's given birth to a child. The water comes out.
But natural.
But natural blood.
Natural
water. But the blood is thicker than water means that it's the blood of Jesus, which is wild when you're studying modern medicine, his DNA. So is there a possibility when we get born again, remember we're saved by the blood. Does his DNA now reign in Rhett Palmer's body? And I think there's a strong possibility there is more that we don't know about.
You know, I wouldn't take it as far as like what we see, transubstantiation, like bread becoming actual flesh.
Some people believe that. That's up to them. I understand, but
when we become born again,
yes,
is our physical blood changing? No, but our
our
blood relation, our familial relationship. Well, we're adopted. We're brought in.
The Jews, we're adopted, right? I mean, we're like an engrafted...
branch
that's grafted in. Mm-hmm. And so we become part of the family.
Yeah.
It's the family of God.
Yeah.
But we are adopted.
If this was the twig and here's the branch and the source is from below and so we are just taking in the nutrients of the source and then bearing fruit.
A biological parent.
Yeah.
A child goes to jail. I ask this all the time. I said, if your son became heinous crimes, murdered a group of people, would you still love your child? Yes. Would you visit him or her in prison? Yes. Wow. If you being flesh and blood, earth person, can love somebody that much, how much more can God,
sure,
who is mighty and holy and pure of heart,
yeah,
love? Unconditionally, right?
Yes. And I wanted to share a few stories in the Old Testament and a few stories in the New Testament that talk about this spirit of adoption, because how we are brought into the family of God is so important. When we're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, what does that mean? Meditate on how you are a Christian, how the Lord loves you, how you are called as a son or daughter of the King. What does that mean for you, and how does that change how you act and do? So I brought up a few examples, and I'll need to start this up real quick.
You got his computer here; he's going to look something up.
As you get older, you can't remember everything very well.
No, nothing wrong with some notes. Wonderful.
But Romans,
you did your homework. 8, thank
yeah,
you.
Romans 8:15
yes,
says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father.
Like the prodigal son who was welcome even though he'd gone off.
Yeah. And this spirit of adoption is something that God has been revealing since the beginning of time. Just like there's always been a sacrificial system of the Old Testament leading up to the day of Jesus so that when he would be the final sacrifice— Yeah. We would know what to look for, right?
Yeah.
In the same way, the concept of adoption has been with us since the days of Genesis, and its full culmination is what we'll see in the book of Revelation. So the whole Bible has the spirit of adoption, and that's our own salvation story. This is how we relate to God as family, sons and daughters, bought with a price, belonging with the full inheritance that God would have for his people. And so from the book of Genesis, maybe you recall the story, you know, Joseph is sold into slavery,
yeah,
and ends up being the second-hand man and oversees the country and saves his family. Well, Joseph had a father, so you probably heard of Jacob and Esau. Jacob I loved, Esau whom I hated, right? But Jacob, when he was an old man, very weak, couldn't barely see, Joseph brings into his room, probably while he's on his deathbed, and Joseph brings in two of his own kids, and in a conversation that Jacob has with his son Joseph about his own children. So this is Jacob and grandchildren. He says, I'm going to give to the first two of your born all the rights and privileges of a firstborn child, that anything I have goes to them. This is exactly what happens when you are adopted. All the rights, all the privileges of your heavenly father or of your father is given to you. That is a classic example. Where else do we see that?
And he does say, bring me to remembrance of my promises.
Mm-hmm.
I've used that card. That's been my trump card, so to speak, because I lost my dad early on. So I said, you promised to be the father to the orphan.
Yep.
He's probably up there going, oy vey, I can't get rid of this guy. Okay, God is not a man that he should lie.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
But think about some other stories. Maybe more familiar than that would be the story of Moses.
Yeah.
It was a decree by Pharaoh that they were going to kill all the Hebrew children. They
because
were
it was
concerned.
Prophesied a emancipator would come.
Yeah. So the mother leaves Moses into a basket, goes down the Nile River, picked up by the princess of the Pharaoh, who adopts this child as her own. Now, uniquely,
but
the mother
becomes—
doesn't
the Pharaoh ever say, where'd this child come from?
You know.
Who knows?
But there you've got someone bringing in a child as her own.
Mm.
And then, of course, you hear this wonderful idea of like, well, then the mother gets to raise and wean the child and be paid to do it. In the court. So you got this other story of adoption. I've also wrote in here Eli and Samuel. So here is a story that my wife, I know, relates very, very well with. I'm sure that many women have dealt with being barren and not having children. Hannah couldn't have children. And she prayed and prayed and prayed for the Lord to give her a child. And she said, if you would give me a child, I will dedicate him to you. And so God answered her prayer.
Late in life,
and
she has Samuel.
She has Samuel. And so she brings Samuel to the temple, pretty much leaves him there. He's raised up by a priest named Eli.
Why is it so important for her to have a child? And yet, since she's willing to leave that child with maybe you would call them the monks of that day or the rabbis of that day, you know, the Pharisees or
Jesus
Sadducees
says in the book of Revelation that we will be given crowns of righteousness. And what do we do with our crowns? We cast them back at the feet of Jesus.
So thank you for giving me a child. Here is the child.
Yeah. That's
wow. That.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Bible's so connected that way. So
wow.
Eli raises up Samuel as his own.
Now, is this Elijah or is this Eli?
This is Eli.
Okay, it's not Elijah. Okay.
Then you go on through another portion of Scripture, the story of Ruth.
Now, we didn't finish Samuel, though. Isn't Samuel sleeping? And he hears a voice that says, Samuel.
Yeah, well, this is when he gets a little bit older. So, you know, Samuel's a baby, dropped off at the temple.
Yeah.
And he's raised up in the temple, and yeah.
Samuel.
Wake up. So, here I am, Lord. And in fact, he goes
three times.
He doesn't recognize it right away. And then he goes to Eli and says, I think I heard from something. Like, that's the Lord. So then there's a call in Samuel's
I'm hearing
life.
Voices. Something spooky's going on here. Well, that's not a spook. That is the great I am that I am.
So you've got Genesis, the story with Jacob and his grandchildren. Exodus, the story of Moses. You've got the calling of Samuel. So you get from those historical books following the Torah. Then you've got the story of Ruth.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Thank you. and we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry, oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, you spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. You stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls, and raised them again a mighty army. For soon these arisen warriors will battle again, for they have been filled with the Spirit. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives, wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. But this time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into valley, and breathe the breath of life into their souls, and raise them again a mighty army. For soon these arisen warriors will battle again, for they have been filled with the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, gracious to me, oh God. Hide me in the shadow of your wings until destruction of the enemy goes by. Be gracious to me, oh God. Be merciful to me, my King. There's a darkness in this cave surrounding me. When the swords are drawn, spears and arrows fly. Be merciful to me, my King. You are exalted, O God, above the heavens. Come, let your glory cover the earth. You have saved me from the roaring lions. Awake my soul to love you. Awake my soul to sing.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
world's been messing. It's been messing with your mind.
Hey girl,
someone stole your smile. Now it's been a little while now. Happiness is hard to find. Letting everybody and my mother try to tell you what you're worth. What you're worth. When did you forget that the one who made you told you what you're worth? Repeat after me. I'm a bloodbought, battle-fought, on my shame.
Darkness, you do not own me anymore. Oh.
everlasting love. Here we are now, children of the mighty God. You're a mighty God. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. Saved by your power, and bought with your blood. I'll say to the darkness, you do not own me anymore. Oh, I belong to God. Oh, I belong to God. I am defined by your heart for me. I am defined by the power of your cross. I'm so alive with your life in me. And now I'll say to the darkness, you do not own me anymore. Oh, I belong to God. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. Saved by your power, and bought with your blood. I'll say to the darkness, you do not own me anymore.
Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
Shelter. No more will I have to fear. I will be here in your arms. No more will I run from you. I will be wise, except in your shelter. No more will I have to fear. I will be here in your arms. Your
and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. Washed away, and my night was turned to day when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget, when I was wandering in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. When heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. When heaven came down and glory my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day when heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
would know. his death they thirst and cry. Why, what has my Lord done to cause this rage and spite? He made the lame to run and gave the blind their sight. What injuries, yet these are why the Lord Most High so cruelly dies.
Thank you. everything we have is yours.
Everything we have, so as for me.